Hi, hello, and welcome to Youth Updates, a regular drop of info to help keep you in the know when it comes to youth culture. Welcome back to another glorious episode of Youth Updates. We hope that you have had a lovely month so far since we were last with you. As usual, we'll introduce ourselves. So my name is Hannah.
And my name is Beth. And I love that you introduced it as like the glorious, was it episode, did you say? Another glorious episode.
Well, right now, as we're recording this, it is the summer, not to date it. Well, we're starting to go into the summer.
Yes.
And we're starting to have some lovely weather. So I just felt indeed. It was appropriate to call it glorious.
It is. I was going to say something then and I thought it would make you really sad. I was basically going to say, well, it is nearly summer because in a month we have the longest day of the year. That's going to make Hannah really sad.
For context, I really get really sad when the days start getting shorter. But we will kick into our episode. So kind of as usual, we're going to chat through three different topics with you. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to finish it all off with the word of the month. So we've got all that to look forward to. So should we get stuck into our first topic? And you're going to intro this one, Beth.
Yes. So this topic is to do with the return of the noughties. Or shall I say like the tens a little bit as well?
Kind of the tens, yeah.
And I mean that in a fashion sense. Now, what I feel is trends move at a rapid pace. But what I've noticed is trends for like teen boys don't really change as much.
Jeans and a t-shirt is kind of fine at any
point. Or like trackies, joggers. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like a little bit changes. Like, you know, low-rise socks definitely did go to ankle socks. Mm-hmm. But for girls, it seems to be a rapid pace. And if you're someone who, you know, was a teenager or a young person in, like, you know, 2006, 7, or like 2011, 12, loads of those things that were trendy are either back in or they're coming back in. So we are fully into now the low-rise. It is the low-rise jeans. Ugh. It's the low-rise mini skirts, chunky belts are coming back. I've even seen a few influencers saying, put your dresses over jeans, girls.
No, that's criminal. That is criminal.
Handkerchief tops, handkerchief dresses. And also, something that is really coming back that was probably more 90s than it is anything else, actually, is the knee-length baggy shorts for girls,
like,
not just boys.
Like picture McFly. Specifically Dougie from McFly.
Yeah, but it's kind of what Billie Eilish has been wearing for the past
years. That's true.
So, but no one caught on to it until now. So it's basically we are in the midst of the throwback. We had the 90s stuff that was 90s and Y2K the past couple of years. We're gonna run out of things to repeat soon. If you go on to, if you pop into Urban Outfitters as a shop, you will see things that are reminiscent of, you know, 10, 20 years ago in there. But there's even things like jeggings are coming back.
No. But so when we were discussing this, what I don't understand about this, about people saying jeggings are coming back, is, and I think back to our very, I think it was our very first Youth Updates podcast, little throwback if anyone wants to go back and listen to it. We talked about how the death of skinny jeans and like, how on earth can jeggings be in and skinny jeans
because
still
leggings are in, and so
out.
I think they'll associate with leggings, not jeans.
Yeah, but jeggings are just not.
Yeah, and
just well, they might be. Maybe we'll see some people style them in a really nice way, and then we'll be like, oh, maybe.
I think it is really interesting though, because I think there is, especially online, you know, Gen Z, Gen Alpha. I mean, more so Gen Z, actually. To be fair, Gen Alpha haven't really, but Gen Z love to poke a bit of fun at millennials and for what millennials wear. And so they'll be like, oh, like your boots with the skinny jeans and the scarves wrapped around your necks and da-da-da-da. And like, and I've seen a lot of videos and discourse online where Gen Z's like, our stuff's timeless and da-da-da. But the irony is, for as much as Gen Z likes to have a little bit of like, you know, a jovial pick at millennials, so, you know, people who are 30s, early 40s or whatever, is the irony is they're starting to wear what millennials wore when they were younger. So it's kind of, it's this like funny little thing of like, you might be kind of mocking millennials, but you're also about to walk into what they wore. Like
the thing I've seen recently is like POV videos where it's like POV, you walk into the gym and you can tell who's a millennial and who's Gen Z by their socks. So it's been like anyone wearing little ankle socks with trainers, millennial. No, like the trainer socks, the trainer socks, and anyone who's wearing like higher socks.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I did make the change like a couple of years ago. I was like, right, switching. I'll change from little trainer socks to like the ankle socks that you kind of like put over the top of your like leggings a little bit. And then you like, then you wear your trainers. But yeah, that's the kind of thing that I've seen recently.
Though, I think
there's so many, it seems like there's almost this air of kind of like, wear what you want, have any free choice, just wear what makes you happy. But then also there is kind of like a set of rules and
But I also think what's really interesting though, I mean, if you're listening, you might have zero interest in fashion, so I apologize. But there's a lot about self-expression and expressing yourself. I think it's interesting what you've just said. But also what we're seeing is that loads of trends that are coming around are old trends regurgitated. So whether it's butterfly clips or whatever, but if you look at fashion, for example, between like the 1890s and the 1990s, there's a very clear change in progression where it doesn't keep looping back to past decades. Like people in the 50s weren't wearing what people in 1910 or 20 did. People in the 70s weren't wearing what people in the 40s did. It kept changing, but we keep looping back now.
This did kind of start with skinny jeans, because whenever people started wearing skinny jeans, I remember my mum going, well, we used to wear those in the 80s.
Yeah. Do you know?
So it did actually start kind of with, I guess, with us really, with when kind of those people who are on the cusp of millennial Gen Z, kind of when we were younger. Like we started wearing skinny jeans and they were from the 80s. I always remember my mum saying that to me.
Yeah,
so
it's interesting.
We started it. Right, we will move on to a second topic now, a little bit more serious, a little bit kind of digging into a different topic, which is something that we've noticed a little bit recently, and you might have noticed this too, is that there has been a bit of a rise in modern witchcraft amongst millennials and Gen Z specifically. So just a quote that I got from a website when I was kind of looking this up, and we'll link this article. But it says, witchcraft has become more prevalent with millennials and Generation Z, with its focus on using spells for the benefit of the self. A whole community of young witches can be found on sites such as, it mentions Tumblr. Tumblr's kind of still going. Or TikTok, labelled Witch Talk, allowing the spread of information such as important dates to acknowledge, tips on how to assemble your altar, and the sharing of spells. We also noticed kind of as we're kind of recording this near the end of May, so early this month, you may have heard there was a big singing competition called the Eurovision Song Contest, which me and Beth are actually really into. But there was a bit of a controversial entry. I mean, there were quite a lot of controversies during this year's competition for various different reasons, but the one we're going to chat about today is Ireland's entry. So Ireland's entry kind of had some witch and occult themes, and actually the
symbolism as well,
and actually the woman who was singing the song, Bambi Thug, that was it, when interviewed actually stated that she is a practicing witch, so actually kind of said that, you know, as she's performing this song, she's kind of hoping that people see what this is all about and maybe like it, or, you know, it was almost kind of an arena to kind of like preach her religion almost. And then something else as well, a degree in magic is being offered at the University of Exeter as well. And then the kind of course leader, this is a quote from them, it says, a recent surge in interest in magic and the occult inside and outside of academia lies at the heart of the most urgent questions of our society. So yeah, I think there's some interesting stuff. You might also have noticed, I've noticed kind of like on local high streets and stuff, a lot more kind of like shops kind of opening up that are, you know, maybe stuff to do with witchcraft, stuff to do with tarot, crystals. Often when I go to you know, like store little kind of market stalls that they'll have in the middle of in the middle of city centres. I went to one in Stratford, and you know, I kind of was kind of joking to my husband, like, oh, I wonder how many, let's count how many of the stalls are kind of like crystals or, you know, tarot or something like that. And there were actually quite a few. So you're definitely starting to see this more kind of at the forefront of society.
But I don't even think it's like markets or where there's independent sellers. Like, I know there's times when me and you, Hannah, have gone into the works because we love a book. We love to read. And there are actually a surprising amount of books on spells, witchcraft, tarot cards, astrology.
Children's books also.
Yeah, and even like like we saw in the colouring section, so on the bottom row where the kids are going to see them easier, there were sort of tarot card colouring books. And it's like, this is in a high street store. This isn't like a niche store. No. This is just like, it's the works. Like, they're in town centres up and down the country. And it's not just that, you know, like, there's fashion shops, so they sell tarot cards at the checkout and different things. So it's not an uncommon thing. And I think it's important as well for us, I think, to talk about it with young people, because I think I know that when I was maybe like 11, 12, there was a couple of things that maybe I explored with my friends a bit more than I probably should have done. But no one had ever told me that those things were dangerous.
Yeah.
Or that I shouldn't go near them. So I didn't know. And so I think when, especially when you're figuring out what life is, what spirituality is, do you know what I mean? I think it can be easy to not realize what some of this stuff is, and
to ignore it. But actually, it's probably important not to ignore it and to address it a little bit.
Exactly. And I think everyone is, you know, on some level searching for more. What's their purpose in the world? Or when they've got struggles, like, what do you do with that? And I think we talked about this a little bit before we recorded, but Hannah, you know, you were chatting about the choruses, about sort of things being more for the benefit of the self and things to do with this. And I think, how attractive is it if you're a young person that there's something that might be able to help you but doesn't require any sacrifice on your part, whereas inherently following Jesus take some level of dying to yourself and sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I think that's, do you know, on the surface you can see why one might seem more attractive.
It's more attractive,
especially if you don't think there's any harm in it. Well, like, do you know what I mean? I think
you're like, what are the downsides?
Yeah,
really?
And I think, you know, and they say, was it Wicca, is that the official name for the religion or something to do with witchcraft? And like, one of the mantras to do with that is like, do no harm unto others, which again on the surface seems like, yeah, this is good, this has got good vibes at the heart of it. And for a generation who are so for peace and kindness and equality, to have something which is centered around do no harm unto others,
yeah,
seems great.
On the face of it,
this is what I mean. Like, you can see why people start to be attracted towards it, and obviously it's dangerous, but they don't know that.
I would be very interested actually in chatting and seeing what is the thing that is such a draw, and what is the thing that is so attractive about this specifically to young people as well. So something to kind of be mindful of, to be looking out for, and maybe starting a conversation in your context as well.
Nice. Third one, so it is coming to that time that if you are someone who knows those who are sort of year 12, 13 age, who are sixth formers, whether you are a teacher or a parent or a youth worker, it's the time when they're thinking about what they're going to do when they leave school. So even if they're in year 12, you know, they've got to start UCAS applications in the autumn, and other people are going to uni. So, you know, lots of people go to university, some people go into apprenticeships, jobs, but there's also the gap year. And the gap year is often a choice for quite a lot of people. And we found some stats here about sort of gap years. And I guess it came from me wondering, you know, is this a thing that people are taking as much? I don't seem to hear as many people taking them as I think I used to. But it says in 2023, it was estimated that between 183,000 and 232,000 18 to 24 year olds did take a gap year, which is still quite a significant amount of young adults are doing it. And I thought what was interesting is It says sort of nearly 30,000 students defer their university course to take a gap year each year. Mm. But what was interesting about that as well was, I don't have it in front of me, but I remember reading it in the article, was saying how there's a high percentage of people who go on gap years without having something in place afterwards, such as studying or jobs. Okay. So it's almost like a choice for people who don't quite know what direction they're going to go in yet.
Well, yeah, because if you think about the maths on that, if, you know, 200 odd thousand are taking a gap year, but only 30,000 of those are going on, you know, are doing that with having deferred a uni course.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
It's absolutely true. So I think that is really, really interesting. Mm. But I think what was also fascinating was they said that an estimated 153,700 gap year takers, so that was 83% of the total, will work in Britain, while 59,300, so 16%, will volunteer abroad. So that's 83% will work in Britain, 16% will work or volunteer abroad. Yeah. And I thought that was really interesting because I definitely remember a time when loads of people would go abroad and travel on a gap year rather than just staying and working. But I think we were chatting a bit about this beforehand as well, weren't we? How
even in Christian gap years,
I feel like there's a lot of people who will stay and do internships or gap years at their own home church, or they'll stay in the country and do it. Whereas I remember sort of 10 years ago, it was like if someone did a Christian gap year, you know, they were in Thailand at an orphanage or they were with YWAM, or they went to Africa for half the year.
Well, you went to Mexico.
Yeah, I went to Mexico. And
I went to Sheffield.
But I think there's been a change. But I think as well, it's interesting, they said that 1 in 5 young people rely on their parents to fund their gap year.
So there could be a financial aspect to this.
I definitely think there is, because
we live in a time now where kind of the world is more open for travel than ever, and those places that maybe seemed really far away now seem a bit more in our grasp. But I think very recently in the last few years, there's maybe a bit less kind of income available that is available for parents to be like, yeah, take this year and go and do something abroad. Because I don't think it's that young people don't want to. I think it's possibly financial.
I think young people are more, I think finances are tighter, but also I think young people are more financially aware.
Yeah, that's true.
I think young people are more financially savvy and they see it as
a
bit
more of a
because I mean I'm 33, so you know, my gap year wasn't recent, but I remember, like, me and a couple of other friends, we kind of took gap years, planned to do it, and we had nothing in the bank, we had no financial plan, but we were like, oh, we'll make it work somehow. But I think now, like, especially like when I'm talking to like our young people, like that we know from like church or other things, like it seems like they're a lot more measured when it comes to things like that. So I do wonder if also there's a trend for people to be like, well, if I haven't got the money, I can't.
Whereas
I remember me and my friends were like, well, I don't have the money, but we'll make it happen. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's definitely, not to say that all young people are like that, but I think there is definitely an element of that side of things.
Yeah, definitely. So. Intriguing to maybe see how many of the young people that you know who are kind of like wrapping up their A-levels and stuff, what they are going to go on to do next. So we're going to move on to our word of the month. And if you're new here, we always sing a little song for our word of the month. However, we never plan it. So we just see what comes out of our mouths. So shall I count us in? In 3, 2, 1. Word of the month. Word of the month. We went very different.
It was like a choir boy was in the room.
Oh, I absolutely think so. I think it was like an angel.
Oh, holy night.
To be fair, when I was going word of the month, I almost started going word of the month, word
like jingle bells,
and then I was like, we're in the going into summer
what
right
you
now.
Also can't see when you're listening to this is that when Hannah was singing word of the month, her shoulders are like bouncing up and down,
doing a little dance.
Little dance at the same time. It's quite excellent.
So our word of the month is the word eight, or she ate or they ate. And you might be like, what? They ate food?
it's like Duolingo.
I mean, that would be delicious. But basically, it kind of means like they smashed that or they did well. So it's often to do with kind of like maybe someone's outfit or performance, or they did something with charisma. So kind of, for example, thinking about like the Met Gala, which is kind of like where, you know, we see all these celebrities in like amazing outfits and stuff. You might be like talking about your favorite celebrity and you might be like, yeah, she ate. Or like you might have been watching a video from Taylor Swift's concert and be like, yeah, she ate. And it means kind of like just she did that so well, like they did that amazingly. It's kind of what it means. So yeah.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for joining us. If you have enjoyed it, please do make sure that you click all the relevant buttons so you can be notified on Spotify or wherever else you listen to get our updates. We'd always love to hear from you, so do get in touch if you would like to do so. But thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Bye.